time once again for Sports Sidebar, covering sports for Northeast Ohio and sometimes even a little outside that area. Sports Sidebar, where we prove that a little knowledge is dangerous, but even less knowledge makes it a little easier to fill an hour. And now on to our hosts, Captain Bill and Dave. And good Tuesday afternoon, everyone, and it's okay.
It's an okay.
It's an okay Tuesday as far as weather-wise goes and such.
Did you notice how good the band sounded?
Yeah, they sounded good.
You know why?
They're not hungover?
No. Well, they usually that's how we get them so cheap. But they sounded pretty good. They want their Christmas tip.
Their Christmas tip?
Yeah.
You know, they'll have to wait till next
week,
Tuesday.
Yeah.
It'll be Christmas Eve. It'd be nice, best time to give a Christmas tip. Yeah.
What do we normally don't tip them. One guy said, we'll play really well today. Maybe we'll get a tip next week.
I think they mean an extra bottle.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
They're good drinkers.
Well, they're
excellent drinkers. Yeah, they're great at that.
Yeah, and they don't demand a high shelf stuff either.
No, that's the,
like Ripple. Well, I'll have to go scour. I don't know if they make Ripple anymore or
I'm
Mogan
sure they,
David 2020.
I was going to say, they probably have
well,
some
Well, I mean, they deserve better than that. They they do play their hearts out for us.
Well, they do.
And
just one song. It's the only song they know. But they do an excellent job of
today it just sounded more buoyant, more into it than normal. And I think that, perhaps I'll find something to give to them next week. Now, that's one thing about Juan and the mule.
Yeah.
Juan Valdez and the mule is that we don't have to tip them.
No.
They're pretty well off. And I just wonder how long we'll be able to keep them having to bring us our coffee.
Well, they like you a lot, so they'll keep coming.
They do.
You run into them all over the place.
They realize that you're the celebrity
that you are.
Next month, I'm going on a cruise. I haven't told you yet.
No, you haven't. Surprise!
And to Panama. And we're going to, get together with... He's going to bring the mule, and we're going to have a lunch at the Canal Zone.
Well, and you know what... I found out because one of our volunteers has from South Africa. He actually has a home in Panama where he was going to retire.
We have a volunteer from South Africa?
Yes, Rodwell King. And he is from South Africa.
I've never met him.
Came here to work. He actually only volunteered Sundays. Now he volunteers from home. And he was going to retire down to Panama because that's one of the top five places for Americans to retire to
expats,
outside this country.
Yes, yeah. Costa Rica's one.
But
Canada.
But it is interesting that he retired, but he can't retire. He keeps getting these assignments and things like that.
What does he do?
I think he worked for Goodyear in some kind of engineer capacity.
Oh.
So that's what brought him to the Akron area to begin with.
So he's from South Africa.
Yes. Yes.
That's like Elon Musk. He's from South Africa.
He is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if he knows him.
Too bad he didn't stay there, but okay.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Well, I didn't know that. I didn't know we had a...
And actually, he also, Jim Vilk, went to California to help his brother-in-law when his brother-in-law had an operation, help him stay out there a couple weeks. And so I'm sending my recordings from further away than anyone else has. Says, no, Rodwell sent his from South Africa.
He's there now?
No, well, it's hard to tell. He's kind of in transition to different places. He may be there now. He still has family there. He goes back to visit family and stuff.
Yeah.
And during travel time, he doesn't. But sometimes when he's there, he says, send me my stuff. So I send it to him, and he records
it. Isn't amazing technology?
It is absolutely amazing. Yeah.
So when my clone sends you the recording for Pluto, I mean, it's from Green. That's nothing.
That's nothing, yeah. He can walk it from there, but...
Well...
I wouldn't make your clone walk there.
No, he's feeble.
Yeah.
Very feeble.
Well, clones age quicker. That's what I do know.
He's like in his mid-70s now.
Wow. Yeah. Like I said, they age quicker than humans, yeah.
Well, I don't know what I'll do with him if he expires. He's not quite human. I'll have to worry about it at the time. It's the holidays. I want to think gloomy thoughts, but.
Oh, so we're not going to talk about the Browns today? You know what's funny? On my way in.
Yeah, on your way in.
I was listening to The Fan.
Yes.
And they did everything but talk about the Browns. They talked about the Heisman Trophy winner. Should he have really been the winner? Where is he going to end up in the draft? Because, you know, this is a guy that played on both sides of the ball the whole season for Colorado.
Yes.
You probably have it right there.
I do. I got to find his name here. If you give me 1 second.
I will do that.
I wasn't ready for this.
But it was just interesting that they talked about anything but the Browns. And
Travis Hunter.
Travis Hunter, yes.
Yes. Yeah, he did play both ways, which is very unusual.
Which is very unusual.
Well, even for high school.
Yeah, for high school. Well, on high school, especially on small teams, you get it a lot.
I've seen high schoolers in the band.
Yes. They're out on the halftime. Most of them are football uniform.
Yeah, most of them are tuba players.
It could be. They need that heavy, strong-looking thing.
So, yeah. You're right. Yeah, I guess the bigger schools, like, you know, Green is a big
country. Oh, yeah.
They have all kinds of players.
And you don't get people to play both sides of the ball there.
No. So if you have a big enough squad, you can have both offense and defense separate players. But it is unusual in college to have.
But, that's the college that Deion Sanders coaches. Prime. And a lot of people don't like him. And that's why there was a lot of shock when he won it, simply because he plays for Deion Sanders. Chose to go there.
I wasn't in shock.
Well, you were. I said a lot of people.
Well, a lot of people
that he wanted. Because he wasn't like the best wide receiver, and he wasn't the best corner, but he was very, very good at both.
Yeah.
And playing both sides of the ball for nearly the whole game.
Yeah.
Is what
were
put
you,
him
were you in shock?
I didn't pay that much attention. So the answer is no, I was not.
Well, but I said a lot of people were in shock.
Nobody in this room, but apparently a lot of people were.
Wow.
According to The Fan hosts.
Oh, really? Well, to be honest with you, I didn't follow Colorado that closely. They apparently didn't make it enough to get into the college football playoffs.
No.
So.
Obviously.
And.
He's brought their program up. I mean, they gave Deion Sanders a lot of credit for bringing them up to where they're at, because they were a terrible program but 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, he did it before. He went to coach a historically black college.
Right.
And did really well there, and Colorado took the opportunity to hire him. He's a colorful guy. I mean, I don't understand why people don't like him. I mean, maybe.
Because he's about the glitz, I think. I mean, he was a player, a lot of people didn't like him.
Yeah. He's had health problems.
Well, he was not the two sport also?
Yeah.
Baseball, as professional baseball, as well as professional football.
Yeah. He was like Bo Jackson.
Bo Jackson,
until his hips, went from him, but, anyway, I don't know why anybody would be upset because he played for Coach Prime that he got the Heisman. You said all these people are in shock.
I'm going to walk out in the street right now.
I'm going to go right now and walk out in the street and ask, are you in shock that Travis Hunter, because he was coached by Deion Sanders, is the Heisman?
Go ahead. I'll wait.
All right. Well, I'm just saying. That's what The Fan said. It's not what you're saying.
That's what The Fan said.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry.
Well, I didn't pay any attention to who won the Heisman.
Yeah. Well, do you blame him for not wanting to talk about the...
No.
The
absolutely
the
not.
I mean...
6 turnovers. 4 interceptions, even after they finally benched... Jameis Winston and DTR came in and threw one at the end of the game too, but there were 2 fumbles that were not recovered by them as well.
It's just, I really do have pity on the people who really love the Cleveland Browns. They lost 21-7. They didn't, and they were 5.5 point, which I thought was rather low.
You know what? I'm not a betting man, but if I were, I'd be taking up on those bets.
Yeah, so.
Because
they lost.
I think at one point it was only a 4-point difference, but it was 5.5 at game time.
5.5, yeah.
I still figured it'd be at least a touchdown they won by.
I mean, Kansas City has basically their division.
They have their division locked up.
The AFC West.
Now,
West, yeah.
It depends on, of course, they're doing more testing today, but their quarterback had an ankle issue.
Yeah, yes.
Mahomes at the end of the game. And they did check it, and they saw nothing. They didn't see, of course, fractures are hard to see right away, too.
Yeah.
So there could be a fracture, but there wasn't any break.
Well, that's good. Patrick Mahomes is a great quarterback.
He is?
He's a great quarterback. And maybe now, I think they're still playing for home field advantage, but do you jeopardize, since you got your division locked up, home field advantage to... Is it necessary to take Patrick Mahomes,
they've
put him out next week?
They've only lost one game.
They have Carson Wentz, who's their backup, who isn't shabby.
No.
And he's also, this franchise is so desperate for a quarterback. I mean, Winston's gone.
Yes.
He's gone. He sealed his doom.
I like this.
Winston,
he sealed his doom Sunday, yeah.
Winston, goes up in smoke.
Like a cigarette should.
Oh, yeah. Pun intended. And I like the guy. He's a personable young man. He has a great arm. And he can throw it a long way.
To the wrong people.
And he makes some tremendous throws. Unfortunately, he makes a lot of tremendous throws to the other team. And Stefanski finally... had enough in Sunday's game. And another bad, unfortunate result of that game was Nick Chubb being out.
Now, was this not the last year of his contract?
Yeah. I don't think he's coming. He'll come. Now, if they were smart, they would, because he's a fan favorite, right?
Yes, absolutely.
But
what do they care about the stuff? I mean,
they don't care.
We got stuff here where Haslam has denied any responsibility for Deshaun Watson.
Oh, come on. He denies it?
He denies it.
He refuses
to blame himself or Deshaun Watson for 2024 struggles.
Well, some PR guy is telling him what to say.
He refuses to accept his mistakes with the Browns, including Deshaun Watson. Yeah.
Well, I guess when you're a billionaire, you can make...
You're a billionaire. You can blame somebody else.
Yeah. That sounds familiar. But anyway, the fact is, he's the one that said... He said, okay, pay this guy, right? He's going to give him whatever he wants. And he's going to be the Super Bowl quarterback. We finally are going to go to the Super Bowl with this guy. And we'll give up not only $240 million.
Guaranteed.
We'll give up the future, too.
Yeah.
And he did. He gave up the future. The situation with the quarterback with the Browns is dire.
DTR.
DTR is not the answer. The draft is not flush with.
Everybody is calling this a very weak draft for most things.
Yeah, the Penn State quarterback that was probably the best quarterback possibly to go into the draft.
He's a local boy.
From Medina.
Medina. My son knows his father very well.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Anyway, he's staying. He declared yesterday that he's going to play a senior year at Penn State.
Well, I'm sure he's got some money coming in.
NIL. That's a good point you just made. I don't know if you made it on purpose.
Probably not.
The fact is, a lot of kids, young talent, left the college to go into the pros because of money.
Because of money, right.
Now they don't have to.
Right.
So.
And I always thought that would help encourage them to stay in the program.
You know the Boses who left Ohio State early?
Both of them, yeah.
Yeah, to get
Nick
the big
Joey.
Money. Now, would they do it?
They can make, And the thing is, in college, you're going to make it there, and you're not necessarily guaranteed a great spot in the NFL necessarily.
No, well, the Boses were, but
they were,
yeah,
sure.
But so it just clicked into my mind. They don't have to go now. They don't have to go into the pros. Arch Manning, the son of one of the not Peyton or the other one,
the youngest,
the oldest.
Dad.
Yeah, the dad.
Arch is the dad. Yeah.
No, Arch is the dad of Peyton.
Right.
And his brother
Eli,
and there's another brother who was not. He never played in football, but that's his kid, Arch.
Okay.
And so Arch is he's playing for Tennessee, I believe. And I don't think he's making $7 million a year in name, image, and likeness.
Why worry about the NFL?
And he's only a freshman.
A freshman is and probably having that name is what helped him get a lot of that.
Well, unless it was like, like you, Binkley.
No, that's not a name that's going to get you $7 million. You'd be lucky to get you $7. You'd be lucky to get you coffee at Starbucks.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Dave Binkley. Yeah, okay, you get to pay double. Yeah.
Well, anyway, the kid from Penn State obviously doesn't have to make that financial decision now because he's probably going to make $5, $6 million in name, image, and likeness from the alumni and everything. The world has changed drastically in college football in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
It's just after, I think it was, the Supreme Court who decided that, I don't know who made the decision that athletes could be paid now.
Right, yes.
But it was a court case, I believe.
I believe it went to the Supreme Court,
And this is,
because the NCAA would have fought it to the Supreme Court.
Oh, yeah, and they
which
still
they did.
Like, yeah. So maybe that's university, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're good, that way you don't lose your top talent right away.
Right away, yeah.
Yeah. So now it depends on what they think they can make in the NFL.
Well, let's face it, your first year contract, unless you are in the first half of the first round.
Yeah, the bonuses are what they
right. But as far as they're actually, once they get below that, the bonuses aren't that great, and the salary is whatever minimum it is.
Yeah,
so they could actually make more in college than they could in their first year two of the NFL.
So that's keeping some kids to stay. Unfortunately, if you're like a Jason Taylor from Akron U, right?
Yeah.
It'd be interesting. Well, he would be in the transfer portal.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
He would have just gotten out of here. I mean, unfortunately, I think I was going to bring this up last week, but several of the key players from Akron and Kent are in the transfer portal.
They are.
And that's a shame.
Because there's no reason to stay in Kent.
Or Akron. I mean, they won four games, but
that's more than Kent won.
Well, by four. I mean, you can't multiply it. So if you are a fairly good player, you could go maybe to like a Nebraska or Iowa and make some money there where you couldn't at Akron, except Mississippi.
Zippy's the only one that we know.
I mean,
that's the only one that's been stated that has NIL money coming.
So I don't know. But the Brown situation is really horrible. It really is. I mean, you
have guys playing for their career now, and actually the defense didn't do so bad, except with all those stinking turnovers.
Well, yeah, you can't. I mean, can you? The morale on defense has got to be so low. I mean, you're out there beating your head up against the wall, and you stop them, and then the guy gets in there and he throws an interception.
And there were four interceptions, and other times they lost the ball with fumbles, and that's six possessions in a game. And that's a quarter's. That's more than a quarter's worth.
Yeah, and
again,
some stupid penalties.
And this is where you look at the coach where he could be in trouble.
He's not, I think he's gone.
Because when you have people, they can't even line up right. that are moving before they're supposed to move, and all these pre-snap penalties. It's just absolutely that have not gotten better. They're actually have already more pre-snap penalties now than they had the entire season last year, and they led the league in the season in that last year.
Well,
they don't get better, and that has to fall upon your coaching staff. And an example I saw was when Eric Mangini came in, they were like one of the worst, and he had them in the top seven. And people were joking and mad at him because he made players do sprints and stuff when they did stupid things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? They went from like last to seventh.
Mm-hmm. Well, the officials are enforcing the linemen standing too far behind the line of scrimmage more than they have been in the past.
Yeah, that's true.
And they do that to get the advantage. You get a little more advantage blocking than you would just being right off the line of scrimmage. But you would think that some of these guys would get the message after doing it a couple times.
And you'd think the coaches would be stressing that. And if and they're not doing it, then that's still a coaching problem.
The Browns are 3-11.
3-11, aren't they? Or are they 3-12 now? 3-12 now, okay. Yeah, you're probably right. I didn't add in yesterday.
No, 3-11.
3-11?
That's 14. Got three more games.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Who would have thunk? I mean, I thought
essentially this is the same team we had last year.
I thought my projection being 8-9, I was very pessimistic. Boy, I was
I was 9-8. I was more optimistic than you.
I mean, nobody had them this bad.
No,
and it's all because of the quarterback.
And of course, nobody had the Steelers this good.
No, well, they lost yesterday. They're 10-4. You got Baltimore nipping at their heels. Cincinnati's still in it, too.
I mean, Cincinnati won yesterday.
So I don't know what the future holds with this franchise.
And they want the public to cough up $1.5 billion for their other part of the stadium.
Don't take it to a vote. Don't take it to a vote.
I mean, as far as that's concerned, they're going to still be called the Cleveland Browns. Because the Detroit Lions don't play in Detroit. The New York Jets don't play in New York. The New York Giants don't play in New York. You know, they'd still be the Cleveland Browns.
Well, Dallas doesn't play in Dallas. They play in Arlington.
Most teams don't play within the city that they're actually at.
I'm just trying to think. There's probably other ones that we can't think of right off the top of our heads, but literally, if you look at a drone shot from where they want to put this new stand, you got the Cleveland Airport right there, which is in Cleveland.
Which is in Cleveland, right.
And then
the IX Center is the Cleveland. Property reaches all around the Cleveland.
Yeah, it's like this parcel is literally an island of Brook Park.
Yes.
And to say it's... the Art Modell rule would take Modell rule.
It's never been challenged until now.
Yeah, and it's a state law. It's believe me, they have probably invested tens of millions of dollars in architectural design, buying the property, and all that stuff. Do you think that? Well, maybe the doofuses would, but most smart businessmen would not even contemplate.
I don't know that they actually bought the property. I think they bought the rights to all the property, which is still going to cost them a pretty penny that they will never get back if it doesn't happen.
Yeah, so I really think that they're business people, the lawyers and all that kind of stuff, the professionals, gave them due diligence to say, the Modell rule is not going to hold up.
No, it's never been challenged, and I don't know that it could be. Because technically it's a business. Football is a business.
Yeah, I mean, in a way you don't – I think it's a good idea to go with a dome. You have more events.
All these people are saying, but we're going to lose so much money downtown Cleveland. I said, how are you going to lose that much money on a Sunday in downtown Cleveland for 7 or 8 times a year? How are you going to lose that much money for that?
Well, they didn't make money on Sunday.
They sure did not.
There was a lot of empty seats there.
Yeah.
You knew what was going to happen because D thought that stadium had horrible ingress and egress. I mean, it's hard to get in. It's hard to get out. The parking's awful. You're scattered all over the place. And you knew when if she was thinking that, it was going to happen.
She's probably the smarter of the two, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And so the idea, the concept of having a state-of-the-art dome where eventually maybe you have a Super Bowl?
Super Bowl and multiple types of events, conventions.
NCAA
tournaments.
Tournaments, conventions. Now, the conventions would take away from downtown because
and there's not a whole lot of
field houses.
There's not a whole lot of hotels down there where they're going to be.
No, there isn't. So they would a lot of people would stay downtown anyway and take either Uber or the train.
Yeah,
they have the Rapid that goes from downtown. I think it's a wise decision to do that. Now, if they expect the public and
to cough
pay
for a billion and a half,
I mean, yeah. I don't see that happening. And it's all a big stew of negotiations and
yeah.
If they're going to do it, they have to do it soon in order to have a stadium ready to play in 28 or 29, whatever it is. They got to start breaking ground by 2026. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen, but I can't imagine investing $1 billion just to renovate.
That makes no sense.
A billion isn't what it used to be.
I wouldn't know. To me, $1 billion has always been $1 billion.
Yeah. And you know, that's $1,000 million.
Yeah. Okay.
It is.
Oh, I know that. I'm just saying.
$1,000 million.
Yeah. And, but to say the billion isn't what it used to be is,
I mean, it's they're putting $2 billion into the Buffalo Stadium, and it's going to be a beautiful stadium, but it's not a dome.
No, it's not.
But I've seen the architectural design, and they have it's well on its way, but the fans will be covered up. It would be kind of like the old Dallas Stadium where you have an opening in the middle.
Okay.
So you still get the benefit, I guess, of being cold. But not the fans will be okay.
Yeah.
That's a $2 billion stadium. I just think it makes a lot of sense.
Unless you had a heated roof, I don't think you could have that Buffalo. The roof would just collapse under the weight of the snow.
Yeah, that's true.
But if you had a heated roof, and it kind of melted
as another. Buffalo was not in Buffalo. I mean, they're in Orchard Park.
Orchard Park, which was right, actually across the border from my Tonawanda there.
Good old Tonawanda.
Good old town of Tonawanda.
Yeah.
Not North Tonawanda, not city of Tonawanda, but town of Tonawanda.
Oh. That close to Webster? There's a Webster in New York around there.
No.
Okay. Never mind then.
It's kind of southwest of Buffalo.
Okay. That's where
it's still a burb of Buffalo.
Yeah. So anyway, all these people crying, oh, they're leaving Cleveland. Well, no, they're really, it's a boundary.
Yeah.
And, you know, Brook Park is salivating because they're going to be getting a windfall of taxes and things like that. And I think there was, in the past, that used to be Cleveland, but they swapped it out.
Yeah, they swapped it out for the IX Center, I think. Well,
the Ford plant used to be there.
Yes.
It was a huge plant.
It was.
It's all gone now.
Yeah.
And I think and there's a lot of mitigation of the soil that has to take place because of whatever was there before.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But the thing is, you can't protest too much because this guy may say, okay, screw you, Cleveland. I'm moving. There's other.
Yeah, and there are other places that will.
Don't you think he would do that?
Yes.
If forced into, I say, okay, fine. I've got San Antonio drooling to get the Browns or, you know, another town that's quite large. I mean, who knows? Who knows? They did it once before.
They did.
Yeah.
Which was why they created
the Modell rule is a state of Ohio rule. It's a law.
Right. And it would not hold up in court.
Anyway, getting back to this game.
Oh yeah.
Well, of course, it was a meaningless game, but you know, Jameis Winston is not the solution.
No. Because we had asked, I think it was either last Thursday or last week, is Jameis Winston going to be re-signed? And if there was a question before this last game, there is no question.
No, he won't be unless they really. I mean, who are they going to get? DTR is not the answer.
He is not the answer. Yes,
sir. I mean,
they'll probably take.
And then you got the background is Deshaun Watson. He's not the answer.
No.
So will they go out? And they're limited in what they can spend now
because of Deshaun Watson.
Are they going to get like a Carson Wentz, who's the backup to Mahomes? Sam Darnold? But they're going to have to pay Sam Darnold a lot of money. So will Minnesota, though. I don't know what they're going to do.
I think he's found a home in Minnesota, Sam Darnold.
I think so, too. I mean, this is all kinds of speculation after a Sunday's game, how bad the quarterback situation is. And it just, when I predicted 8-9, a lot of people were saying 11-6, yeah. 12-5. And I said, well, what are they seeing that I'm not? I mean, I'm not an expert.
They're fans.
But there was a lot of, so-called experts saying.
Oh, really?
I guess the consensus was something like 10 wins and 7 losses. But they so went below expectation that I don't see them saving Stefanski's job. I mean, it's they're 3-11, and I know he was coach of the year twice, and everybody like Troy Aikman and all the other ones who. He has a cadre of people in the press who really like Kevin Stefanski. Yeah. But
I think they're going to like him at a different team next year because he will be snapped up.
Oh, I think so. I really do. Bill Belichick gone.
He is.
I cannot believe.
I have here some the UNC. He's going on to University of North Carolina,
which
they have some details here on his contract.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay, here we go. So. While the agreement is for 5 years, only the first 3 years' pay is guaranteed. Now, that's $10 million a year.
Poor guy.
Okay. Is guaranteed in case Belichick is fired without cause. The annual pay figure is double what North Carolina had been paying recently fired coach Mac Brown. It would make Belichick the sixth highest paid college football coach in a public school for the 2025 football season. Belichick's deal also provides him with a $100,000 annual expenses account with a possibility of getting $3.5 million a year in bonuses. Wow. Among the bonuses, a total of $250,000 looks to be routinely attainable, $150,000 for a team playing in a non-CFP bowl game, which generally requires a record of at least 6-6, UNC's record this season, and $100,000 for the team having a single year NCAA academic progress rate figure of 950 to 969, and the team has exceeded 950 in each of the past 3 years. In addition, the team sheet says North Carolina will provide $10 million as an assistant coach salary pool. This season, UNC paid nearly $7.4 million to its 10 primary assistants, according to information obtained from the school by USA Today. $1 million for a strength and conditioning staff. $5.3 million for staff support. This is all on top of his $10 million. $5.3 million for support staff, including funding for a new general manager position with a pay not to exceed $1.5 million. $13 million is what the term sheet called revenue sharing. This is presumably a figure that represents the total amount of money the university plans to pay football players as consideration for the use of their name, image, and likeness.
Does it take care of his 25-year-old girlfriend?
No, but supposedly in here, according to my son, Bobby, it has a clause in there that his son will take over when he leaves.
Well, there you go. There you go.
And what they're hoping is he will turn this into an NFL factory, which will bring some of the brightest prospects there to UNC.
Well, you got to give that guy credit. He's 74, 70. I don't know how old he is now.
Yeah.
But he's got his girlfriend is like 50 years younger than he is. Good for him.
Yeah, they asked him, you know.
He got a big old smile on his face.
Yeah, I mean, I would too, but, you know, they asked him if thought a age difference like that could kill him and said, hey, look at my age. If she dies, she dies.
You know, he seems to have mellowed out a little bit since he coached in the NFL.
Oh, yeah, you see him in some commercials. He's smiling and stuff and being like a human.
Yeah. I don't know if this is going to work out. A whole different kind of game is the college game. It takes a different type of personality as well to coach basically very young men from 18 to 21, right? 18 to 22. I don't know. I don't. Maybe it'll work out. He'll be fine. I mean, my goodness gracious, he's first of all,
30 million. Guaranteed. Yeah. That.
First of all, he doesn't need the money. I mean, no. I assume he's doing pretty well.
Yeah.
And I can't believe all the commercials he's in, too.
And he's never what I would have thought of to be a commercial spokesman.
But he's got that dry kind of humor, I guess, or sense of around him. He's very dry. And he gets a phone call from somebody. I think it was one of the betting sites. Coach, what do you think about this game? And he gives his okay. How much is he getting for that?
Yeah.
Obviously, he loves to the game of football, but I would have thought that somebody would have grabbed him. Yeah, I guess he wanted the Jets job.
Did he want the Jets job?
Yeah, he wanted the New York Jets job that's opened up. I mean, it's opening up. So, but
you know what? I think. If he did, I think he'd have problems there because the ownership, again, is so insecure with that it makes – they're like Haslam was when he got here.
Yeah.
And always constantly changing coaches and GMs and all this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And what we kept saying way back when Haslam bought this team and was doing all this, you can't win without the inconsistency, without any consistency.
Well, I wish him luck. I mean, I have no – nothing against Bill Belichick, you're one of your favorites.
Yeah.
But he
you mean
he,
Bill Belichick? Yeah, yeah. You know what I found more interesting game to watch than the Browns game yesterday?
What?
The Buffalo Lions. And that's when you kind of quandary, who do you root for? Lions could afford to lose a game.
Well, not really, because Minnesota.
They're right on their tail.
They're right on. What are Minnesota?
I think they have three losses. Minnesota.
Did Minnesota lose?
No, I don't think so. I mean,
they play Monday night.
Okay.
Yeah, and they should win against Chicago.
Yeah.
So they're going to Detroit has a tiebreaker in that division.
Okay.
So, you know, Minnesota is doing extremely well, too. I mean, Detroit's now 12-2.
Everybody's giving that coach great kudos for reclaiming Sam Darnold and bringing him to the you always thought he could do.
Yeah, I did.
You did. He was one of the guys you would have rather had here than some of the guys we had.
Well.
In that draft.
Tampa, good old Baker's leading that team. Atlanta is going through a free fall. And now Tampa is heading it.
What are they,
eight and six now. And they're leading the South, the NFC South. Good. I just hope Baker. I don't want them to. I would like to see another matchup between Detroit and Buffalo in the Super Bowl.
And that's one of the things they were talking about a lot in the game.
And
that this could be a
Buffalo looked really good. I mean, Josh Allen. Is one heck of a quarterback.
What do you have, 52 points? Was Buffalo had?
Well, it was not 50.
40, 45.
Hold on one second here. If I had paper, I would be faster.
Newspaper, yeah.
Okay, hold on. Just hold on 1 second. I got it here. It's 48 to 42.
48 to 42.
Now, it wasn't, you know, they scrambled Detroit at the end to get the 42.
Yeah, but they did, and they kept, the announcers kept making it seem like they could.
Well, they won, obviously. I like Jim Nantz. Tony Roma, but Jim Nantz is the best. Get Jim Nantz and Troy Aikman together, you would have the best.
I'm not a big Aikman fan.
But. Oh, I think he's the best one. Who's your favorite?
I like Tony as a color, yeah. Commentator. But that's okay.
Okay, we have a difference there. I don't like Chris Collinsworth that much.
Okay. He's the one, is he with
he's with
Troy Aikman?
No, that's Joe Buck.
Joe Buck, yeah, okay.
Joe Buck, I don't know why. He's probably a really nice guy, but it's just something about him I don't like. I don't know. Nothing against him. I just, you know, Mike Ricci is the NBC guy.
Okay.
Yeah, he's good. But I just think Troy Aikman, he's the best on the technical aspects of the game, in my opinion.
Okay.
In my opinion.
He did play longer than Tony Roma did.
Yeah, and he's a Hall of Famer too.
Yeah,
yeah. So there,
Tony Roma will not be.
I don't think Chris Collins was. I don't think Chris Collins was.
No, I don't think so.
And who else is of the major ones? The guy with Al Michaels, good analyst too. Okay. What's his name?
I don't get Prime, so I don't hear that often.
He's a big Ohio
State I've always
guy.
I always thought Al Michaels was tops. I've always
he's good. Him. I think he's kind of he is a good play-by-play guy.
Yeah.
I him and Jim Nantz, you couldn't do bad by either one of them.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
Anyway. Gosh, we've got a few more things here. Ohio State will play Tennessee in the semi playoffs. I think Ryan Day has to win this game against Tennessee. They should.
And, you know, my son said, well, yeah, you could fire him, but who are you going to replace him with?
Kevin Stefanski.
Yeah. You know what? That's one thing about Bill Belichick that did kind of surprise me was the fact that Bill Belichick needs like 6 wins to be the most winning coach in the NFL. And that's why it kind of surprised me he went to the college level, because he would have snarfed. The reason he didn't get the Atlanta job last year, because he had like 3 meetings with them, is that I think he wanted way too much control over the team that they weren't quite willing to give him.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I thought it was foregone conclusion. Again, after the 3rd meeting,
I think North Carolina is giving him the keys to the university.
They are, yes.
So he'll have that. But it's college.
Yeah.
And it's not the NFL.
Right.
But I think Ryan Day has to at least win this game against Tennessee. Of course, the winner gets the privilege of playing Oregon, which is
lost to them once this year.
Yeah, yeah.
And if they had beat Michigan, they would have played them for the Big Ten championship.
Yeah. I like this format. A lot of people don't. I do too. I think the bowl games now mean something.
Yes.
Other than the mashed potato bowl and everything else that they have. But that's good for those teams that are in it.
There are a lot of bowls that aren't collegiate.
Yeah.
The playoff bowls.
Yeah,
that's good too, because it gets these other schools a chance to make some money and national exposure.
That's right. So, they play Saturday against Tennessee. I don't know much about Tennessee, but I know that Arch Manning, even as a freshman, I don't think he even starts, is on that team. So, speaking of college,
I have the Nielsen ratings drop the top 10 football teams based on viewership.
Yeah.
Number 10, Florida. Keep going here. Viewers of 4.3 million viewers, record of 75. Their bowl game is the Union Home Mortgage Gasparilla Bowl. Okay. Number 9, Kentucky. 4.5 million viewers, record 4-8. And their bowl game, they didn't make a bowl game. Number 8, LSU. $4.8 million. 8-4 record. They're in the bowl game is Kinder's Texas Bowl.
Oh, Kinder's, they make spices.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I use it on my steaks.
Number 7, Texas A&M.
Yep.
4.9 million viewers. And this is an average per game.
Mm-hmm.
Record is 8-4, and their bowl game is the SRS Distribution Las Vegas Bowl.
Good for them.
Number 6, a team up north. They have 5.2 million, record 7-5. Their bowl game is the Relia Quest Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Number 5, Tennessee. 5.4 million viewers, 10-2 record for the Volunteers, and their bowl game is college football playoff first round.
That's right, Ohio State.
Number 4, Texas. There are 6.4 million viewers. Record is 11-2. The bowl game, college football playoff, first round.
Mm-hmm.
Number 3, Alabama.
Yeah.
6.6 million viewers. Record 9-3. Their bowl game is the Relia Quest Bowl.
Good for them, Relia Quest.
Number 2, your Ohio State Buckeyes.
Yes.
They are 6.8 million viewers, 10-2 record, and, of course, their college football is first round. Playoff first round. And number 1.
Notre Dame?
They didn't even make the top 10. Georgia.
Wow, I thought Notre Dame would have them.
Georgia, 11-2, 8.6 million viewers. You would think that Notre Dame would have been up there.
Yeah.
Honestly, I really would have thought that.
Yeah. Now, is this viewership based on?
On Nielsen averages.
Oh, on all their games.
On all their games.
Notre Dame didn't make the top 10?
Nope. Nielsen dropped. This is an article originally appeared in Aggies Wire. Nielsen drops the top 10 football teams based on viewership.
Because Notre Dame used to get at least
that's why they had
a national game every week.
That's why they had that forever contract with NBC, I think.
Yeah. Well, hey.
So they did not make the top 10.
Wow. Well, we got a couple things we got to talk about.
Okay.
All right. Good thing happened here. Tom Hamilton is now in the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
In the broadcasting wing, the Fred C. Frick Award.
See his response to that?
Yeah.
Very humble and very touching. Several times he almost broke into tears.
Yeah.
Very.
Well, I guess we don't know. We are so spoiled.
Yes.
Having him do the play-by-play. And nobody calls a game in my relatively short lifetime better than him. I mean, I like John Miller, who was for Baltimore. I mean,
yeah.
But Tom can just, his voice can explode at any time something happens. It's just, his calls are amazing. And
that's why whenever you saw the highlights on television, it was Tom Hamilton's voice.
And he gave credit to like Matt Underwood, who used to work with him.
Yeah.
And other folks that he gave them credit for achieving this award. No, he
was there before Matt Underwood.
But you know what? Herb Score was a big influence on him.
Broadcaster?
Yeah. I mean, I would just think being around a baseball man like Herb Score.
Yeah.
Had to be a great influence on him. He started back in 1990 with the Indians at the time. And
I remember him always referring to him as Herbie,
Herbie. And I know he was very, very down when Herb Score passed away.
Yeah.
But he's just a great broadcaster, a very humble man. And we're just very fortunate to have him.
We are.
I'm sure with his caliber of broadcasting, he could go anywhere he wants.
Remember, he was the number 2 announcer as long as he was with Herb.
Yeah.
And I know he had some other offers before he didn't want to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And raised his family here, and his son went to Kent State. Yeah. And, so it just.
So that's a good thing. That has happened. A sad thing happened, though, too. The Rocky Colafito passed away.
So is the curse finally over now?
That's what the first things people said. Is the curse? I don't know. Listen, Rocky was a great player when we had
him. He wasn't the one that cursed us, was he?
No.
I mean, people just said the curse was when Trader Frank Lane traded him away.
Yeah, well, there was another curse, too, about the player who was a Native American.
Yeah.
He came here and cursed the city when they didn't let him go to his reservation.
Yeah, and actually he died about 50 years before there was a Cleveland baseball team.
So
yeah, that was a story I got over this winter.
Yeah.
I looked at his
death. You'll never be a success again or something.
Yeah.
There was a baseball team here. There was a baseball team.
In the 1850s.
Game. No, this happened later than that. Yeah. Okay. We'll do some research and clear this up.
The Indian that
was on his way back when he got ill to his reservation.
Yes, in Indiana, I believe.
I don't know where it was, but he had to stay here. He wanted to go home. They wouldn't let him, and he died. And he cursed the city of Cleveland.
Yes,
and all his sports teams.
Yeah.
But there was a baseball team here at the time. Yep. Okay. Well,
I have two words: Wayne Newton.
Okay, dunk or shame. Okay, so Rocky passed away. He had four home runs in one game, and he got traded in 1959. Gosh, you would remember that. I mean, you were 34 years old by then.
I was already up there, yeah.
And it was one of the. Hey, it was kind of the Sean Watson trade for the Cleveland Indians at the time. That kind of put the Cleveland fans way. He eventually came back, but
yes, he was at the end of his career when he came back. But he always loved Cleveland. He always respected Cleveland.
And they have a statue of him in Little Italy.
Yeah, they do. I wasn't really aware of that, but yeah.
Well, so you learned something from me.
I did.
Well, okay.
Believe it or not.
Another good team, too. They had the item is that Tito said his years with Cleveland were the best he ever had in baseball. And he was very gratified. But he decided to come back to coaching after having to watch his grandkids for 10 days while his daughters were on a cruise. And he said, I'm done with this. I got to go back into baseball. He said that tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah.
But he looks great. He's refreshed.
Yeah.
Wish him all the luck. I'm just kind of surprised that he did come back to – but no, I shouldn't be. He's a baseball lifer.
But I thought he was getting ready for a front office position, to be totally honest with you. I figured he would stay with the Tribe because they've been so good. But I think something happened in this last year.
The who?
I'm sorry, the Guardians.
Mm-hmm.
And until the last year when I really kind of felt he was not in full agreement with upper management.
Yeah, that could be. Yeah. Well, I don't know how he would feel about trading Andre Jimenez, which was a big trade over the last week, for some prospects.
Yeah.
They got prospects. I don't know who they're going to put in second base. They do have a lot of
second basemen in the system.
And they have the other question would be whether if they're done. They did get starting pitcher out of this deal, which they desperately need. But Shane Bieber re-signed for a year contract, $14 million, but he's not going to come back until like June.
Yeah.
And
not bad for half a year, huh?
Jeez. And if he does well, he's out of here. I think they got to keep Josh Naylor. He brings an intangible with him because of his enthusiasm for the game.
And they keep talking about trading him.
I know.
And he's a power hitter. And they always say we need more power.
They got Kyle Manzardo, who there is in the wings. I don't know. I know they said it wasn't about the money with Andre Jimenez because they gave him a contract extension, but it was about the money. He's a platinum second baseman.
Yeah.
But his hitting has gone downhill. And they've been burned too. Look at Miles Straw. They're going to be paying for another 3 or 4 years because they gave him a contract extension and he's in the minor leagues and he's only batting like 199 in Columbus. So they wasted a lot of money there. So yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I like a vote as a manager, and I hope that these moves will help him. But if Bieber can help the team out in the second half of the season, we'll see. But these payrolls that some of these other teams like New York, Boston have,
when we were playing, who did we play? We played New York.
Yeah.
Their payroll for New York was the same as Detroit and Cleveland and
Kansas City
combined.
Combined.
It was more than the three teams combined.
That's right. Together, too.
The one guy had a bigger payroll, had as big a payroll as each individual team.
Yeah, and now that Juan Soto was going to the Mets, it's not in our league, but still... $700 and some million guaranteed. Huh? Pick up a bat, kids.
Yeah.
Pick up a bat, for goodness sakes. Otoni too. He's $70 million. Of course, a lot of it's delayed, but yeah. Okay. Just how much time we got?
Not much.
Okay. Mount Union moves on.
Yep.
To play John Hopkins. Boy, a bunch of brainy people there. They play in Alliance on Saturday for the, I think, the semifinal. If they win, they go to the finals. How do they do it every year?
They get kids that are great lower level, like a bunch of Mogador kids always seemed up down there and stuff, that are kids that couldn't really get a scholarship anywhere, and they all get together there on that level and just play their hearts out. For the love of the game.
Yeah. Well, if you're...
Very seldom do they ever make it to the NFL.
Oh, very rare. Very rare. Now, I'm just surprised that they aren't victims of the transfer portal. You know what I mean? Because they could go to another school, but...
But again, the level is so much lower than your...
But it's good quality football. I mean,
it is.
My brother was coaching at... Baldwin Wallace, going to those games, those are good, hard-fought games. And they would be destroyed by, Ohio State or anything. But it's just amazing how dedicated they are to playing. Are we just about ready?
Just about.
Okay. All right. What else?
Music.
Oh, Navy beat Army. I knew you
did
were.
Did they?
Yeah.
Okay.
They sunk.
Boy, I just kind of missed that one and almost fell out of my chair.
Oh, did you?
Luckily, his chair's low to the ground.
38 to 13. And, of course, the Bills, I was torn, but I love Buffalo, so I'm glad they beat Detroit. But I want to see them come back in the Super Bowl.
There
ready?
You go. Ready.
Did you hear about the woman who loved making archery supplies?
Archery supplies? Yeah. No, I hadn't heard about her.
Every day she went to work, she quivered with joy.
But she would. That's going to do it for our show this week. Next week is our last show of the year.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Say it ain't so.
We'll see everyone next week right here on Sports Sidebar.